We have just concluded, as part of our Sunday school hour, our responsive reading of Proverbs chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. So if you would be kind enough, if you desire to join us, take your Bibles and turn with me to the 11th chapter of the book of Proverbs, verses 1 to 13. Once again, when you read this portion of the book of Proverbs, starting actually in chapter 10 and going quite a ways into the book of Proverbs, you're going to find these little vignettes, these sayings of great wisdom, when Solomon looks at the world around him and he sees life unfolding. And as he views life unfolding, he sees that certain principles seem to work to man's benefit, and unfortunately there are certain principles, if you violate them, they lead to man's consequences in the negative. And you find that quite often in these little vignettes. Also too, we find what's called Hebrew parallelism, where one line or one verse, for instance, normally has two parts, a part A and a part B. And when you look at them separately, you will find similar words are used to define each other, which I believe gives a rounded understanding. Let's look at verse 1, for instance. The first part says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. Well, the second half says, but a just weight is his delight. Now, most people will read that verse 1, and then they'll simply go on to verse 2 and never stop and think what's being said. Okay, what is being compared? Well, I submit to you that the word false in part A, okay, stands in comparison to the word just. Okay? You're going to have a false balance or a false scale. And this was known in the ancient world, where individuals would recalibrate their scales to give them the advantage whenever you came to them to have maybe gold or silver weighed out to be exchanged for other goods or other commodities, or maybe you were having something weighed so that you could sell it. They would readjust the calibration of their scales, or even use the weights that were used on the other end of that balance. They would have them either shaved down a bit, okay, in order to get the advantage of the person coming to them for their services. So that's what's being spoken of here. And it's no different today if a supermarket, for instance, you go to the produce section and you have that scale so you can weigh your apples or oranges so you can judge how much you're going to be spending, you know, per pound. You look at the oranges and it says, for instance, 90 cents per pound. Okay? And so you grab a couple of oranges, you put them on the scale, and say it comes to 3 pounds. Well, you multiply 3 pounds by the pound per price, and that tells you how much you're going to pay for that bag of oranges. Well, what if the storekeeper, in deception, recalibrates the scale to make it weigh higher, therefore charging you more? That will be called a false balance. Okay? Now, look at the word balance in part A. That's going to answer to the word weight. Excuse me. So, false answers to just, or just is put in comparison to the word false. Balance and weight are talking about the same thing. And notice, abomination is put in contrast to delight. This is called Hebrew parallelism. And when you read the book of Proverbs, you're going to find it all the way through the Proverbs of Solomon. So you need to hone in on that particular style of Hebrew writing, where things are being compared, contrasted, or things that are similar. So look for those when you read the Proverbs. Verses 5, 6, and 7 you have this comparison between the wicked man and the righteous man. Bible says, the righteous, verse 5, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his ways, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Okay? So we have the righteousness of the perfect, all right? And then we have the wicked of the wickedness, or the wickedness of the wicked being compared. Now, the word perfect in verse 5 doesn't mean or referring to someone who has reached a level of sinless perfection where they no longer sin. Whenever you look at that word perfect, we're talking about not perfection, but wholeness, completeness, fullness, maturity. Okay? The righteousness of the child of God that is mature. Okay? He's not a wavering Christian. He's not changing his opinions like Kansas weather. Shall direct his ways. Okay? The mature believer who knows what they believe and why is not going to be soon shaken by the rumblings and the grumblings of the world. He's going to be right on focus. He's not going to go to the left. He's not going to go to the right. He's going to walk that straight and narrow path. All right? But the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. And we see that played out in everyday life. Just look at the news. Read a newspaper. And you find those who chose to live a life of wickedness, eventually their crimes do catch up. Verse 6, the righteousness of the upright. So notice, verses 5, the righteousness of the perfect answers to or modifies or defines who the perfect are. It is the righteousness of the upright, the child of God, shall deliver them. But the transgressor shall be taken in his own naughtiness. Well, the transgressor of verses 6 is now hearkening back to the wicked person of verse 5. You see that? Verse 7. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of the unjust man, the hope of the unjust men perisheth. And I look at that verse 7, and I think of men like Hitler, who tried to bring in a Nazi regime that was going to last, what, 1,000 years? You ever wonder where he got 1,000 years from? He must have knew something about a Bible. But his little regime only lasted about 13 years before he was brought down. Joseph Stalin, who really exasperated the effects of communism upon his people, causing untold millions to die on purpose through starvation. He let them starve to death. He got rid of them. Well, his expectations of global communism went up in smoke. You look at men like Napoleon, Attila the Hun, Genghis Khan, men who thought that they could, you know, conquer the world within their lifetime and have it all to themselves. What happened to them? They died, and so did their expectations as well. And then finally, I think verses 10 and 11 is something, beloved, that is so relevant today. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. You know, sometimes Christians are made fun of or they're called into judgment when they rejoice at the downfall of the wicked. Well, beloved, you're going to have a hard time reading the book of Revelation when apostate Israel is destroyed by the Romans in AD 70. The saints who were martyred by that apostate system, when Babylon does fall, and that is apostate Jerusalem of AD 70, while in heaven they shout for joy. Kind of wonder what type of people today try to think Christians are supposed to act and say and do. They rejoiced in heaven when Babylon fell. Revelation chapter 17 and 18. There was rejoicing. Well, why not? The Bible says, when it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, they're shouting. They're not shouting in a negative way. They're rejoicing in the fact that God got rid of their adversaries. And then look at verse 11. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Think of President Biden. What comes out of his mouth is nothing but rank wickedness. Think of Pelosi's mouth, Chucky Schumer's mouth, and every politician right now that is doing everything in their power to overthrow everything that is honorable, decent, and right. Every institution that God has given to us, starting with marriage and the family in Genesis 1 and 2, human government in Genesis chapter 9, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ by himself, leaving it behind in Acts chapter 1. Everything that God's given us for man's good, for man's pleasure, and for man's proper usefulness, these evil, wicked individuals, with the venom and the poison that comes out of their lips, they have overthrown. And we've seen it today. Isn't that amazing? By the blessing of the upright, yeah, a city is exalted. Beloved, America right now is not being exalted. America is being disassembled, one shingle at a time, by evil, wicked, corrupt politicians who are attempting to play God. Well, when they fall and when they are overturned, we shall rejoice and shout to high heaven. Well, may God choose to bless his word.